You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Do you know that you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Hidden Places. I'm Karen Hubbard, your host, and happy to be here today. Happy to have my second cataract surgery done behind me. Ooh. Both of them done now.
Beautiful.
And I can see clearly now. It feels like it just got done raining, you know, and everything's crispy and clear. Mm. You know, like when you go through the car wash and you come out and life is good. So I'm very happy with my the cataract surgery. And so
acuity is very important, isn't it?
Acuity, yes. And, you know, and I was in the bathroom this morning, and I'm like, what are all these spots on the floor? You know, we have travertine on the floor. So it's, you know, it's all different kind of things going on. And it's like they're not spots. They're part of the travertine that I never saw them before.
Ooh, cool.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. And I'm noticing wrinkles that I never saw before. Anyway, but I can see clearly, and I don't need my glasses here at work. Awesome. I worked all day Wednesday without putting my glasses on.
Awesome.
It was wonderful, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Yes.
So I want to welcome Deanne. Welcome back.
Oh, good morning. I'm so glad to be back.
It's good to have you back. 2 weeks away and visiting family.
Yes.
And then Sean, welcome back because you were out last week.
Thank you so much.
It's good for you to be here again.
Amen.
And then now Nanette is out. She's helping her husband doing ministry. So we just bless you, Nanette, today. We know you're going to be tuning in, as you always, always do when you're not here in the studio. So I have, you know, a couple of thoughts on my mind, but I don't know which direction to go first. And so, Sean, I'm just going to open it up to you to share what you had started to tell me about earlier.
You know, like 22 years ago when I moved back to Florida, I had this idea about ministry and, you know, doing what I believed I was called to do and start a work. And I moved back to Stuart, Florida. And a preacher asked me, what are you doing here? And I said, well, we're going to start a ministry. Well, what kind of ministry? I don't know. You know, you never know, because you start out in one place, you end up in another. And boy, have we ended up in different places. But he said to me, he said, Stuart, Florida, he said, that's a preacher's graveyard. Why would you want to do ministry there? And I was, you know, at the beach one day, and I was minding my own business, and I was praying, and I knew that, you know, I was learning how to tune into the tone of hearing God's voice. And I was driving across the state a little while later, and the Spirit of God spoke to me, because I was really concerned about, hey, I'm in a preacher's graveyard. I was really concerned about it, but the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, I want you to introduce, redefine, and usher in a move of God. And knowingly, it's not just me that God wants to do that, you know, through. It's the body of Christ that's supposed to be fitly joined and frame together. And I said that because a lot of times, you know, people have their own misconceptions and ideas, you know, especially when they're prophesying to you, you know, from a negative standpoint. But, you know, heaven has a pattern, and part of the pattern of heaven is for an earthly plan so that we live and learn how to walk in the Spirit and become independent of circumstances, independent of what other people say, so that we might depend on God. Because we have to keep in mind that learning is a process, and we have to continue in the process to learn what we haven't learned. And that's by the ministry of the Spirit of God, because, you know, in the spirit realm, we go from faith to faith and glory to glory, you know, in this ever-changing process of God's transformative power. Transformation doesn't just start and stop in a day. It's a lifetime, you know, experience. So what we're learning how to do in the transforming power of the Spirit of God is we're learning how to create a climate that sets the stage for God, the Holy Spirit, you know, to move in our lives and become, you know, the primary reasons why he is in our lives, which is, you know, to bear fruit, which is characteristic of what God really is, and to walk in the power of heaven's authority so that we can take dominion. But in learning how to move with the Spirit of God, we learn how to release the kingdom of God that can never be shaken. And if the kingdom of God is never shaken, then we're learning how to become independent of no matter what the circumstances say. And so the Bible tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Mm-hmm. That's a realm, you know, that is so huge and so vast, but it's a process. It's a learning process. And one of the reasons the Spirit of God is on the inside of us is so that we learn that he really is the teacher. And as natural surroundings correspond with spiritual conditions, it becomes very clear that changing our spiritual climate really sets the stage for the shifts that take place in our spiritual seasons. Spiritual seasons are very, very, very important. And if we don't learn how to shift with the seasons that are coming, because it's God who does the shift, it's God who makes the season into what it becomes in our life. So in learning the technology of heaven, we learn how to walk in the Spirit with the mind of Christ, mm-hmm. you know. And that's really how we learn to tune in to the tone of God's voice, to listen to what he's saying so that we can obey what he says. So when we create a climate that invites God into our lives where the Spirit can really prepare us, you know, for the next seasons of our lives with heaven's best, this is why Ecclesiastes 3 tells us, to everything under the sun, there's a time, there's a season, and there's a purpose. And as you're really learning how to put on the new man in Christ, he's teaching you how to specifically prepare yourself to manifest everything he's placed on the inside of you. You know, the gifts and the callings of God. The gift is what you are, and the callings are what you're called to do. Very big part of that is the technology of God, for you to allow the Holy Spirit to cause you to shift gears and operate out of a heavenly spiritual climate in every supernatural season of God, simply because your steps are ordered of God. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit working in the believer as we put on the new man.
Amen. Amen. Mm. Amen. There's a lot there. There's a lot to unpack there. Wow. We're entering into a different time and season, don't you think? Mm-hmm. The church, you know, what we've, you know, maybe how we've learned things in the past is all well and good, but now that we're getting the revelation of the kingdom, mm-hmm. then things are different. It's almost like, don't you wish you had known this when you first met the Lord? You know, that we're, you know, the word says we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you know, and then whatever it says after that. Oh, all I know is that the Lord's talking to me about shifting seasons and changing seasons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the opposite things. You've got the sunrise and you got the sunset. You've got the ebb and the flow of the ocean. And all of life is, you know, it's already all planned out. God has it. You know, the ocean obeys the Lord, and the times, the seasons, like, as you were saying, seen in the natural. There's an ebb and a flow to everything in life. And, you know, when Nanette and I were here last week, we were talking about, well, the Lord had spoken to me about being still. So when... And it's because we're in a shifting time. I'm in a shifting time. So if I'm in it, then I'm sure other people are in it. Mm-hmm. And when your seasons are shifting, or when things are changing all around you, you can feel it, and you just feel like you're out of control. And, you know, our natural instinct is to try to control mm-hmm. what's happening, trying to control the environment, trying to control all the external things. Whereas the Lord is, you know, that's the time to let go and to really, you know, listen to the Lord and to wait on the Lord and to be quiet and to just know that things are going to change. I think a lot of times, maybe for myself, you know, changing seasons, they're not all the same. Some are very quick, some are take quite a bit longer. But when you recognize it, when you recognize that things are changing, then it's just go deeper with the Lord. Draw closer to Him, because these are the times that He's going to reveal Himself. And these are the times when we are quiet, He's always speaking, but when we make the decision to be quiet, we're more inclined to listen with the intent to obey whatever we hear. Mm-hmm. And so Nanette and I were talking last week, I'm just having this sense when you're standing at the ocean and then the tide goes out. So then everything's exposed. You can see the rocks underneath, and you know, it's like, wow, I didn't know it looked like that underneath, you know, because the water's always there. But you've got to wait for the tide to come back in again. So it may dry up. I'm just saying this, you know, as a metaphor. Things will dry up as the wave is out, as the water has receded. And you know, you may feel like in your life that everything has gone. People were left removed out of your life. You maybe lost your job. Other things are happening. But that's the time. Waiting on the Lord in that time and being quiet so God can prepare you for when the wave comes back in. So it's having the ability to wait. That I think that's what, it's wait and listen, wait and listen, wait and listen. Yes. And, you know, we hear, you know, I've heard many messages about, you know, going around the same mountain again and things of that nature. I want to quit doing that. You know, I want to be able to just, you know what, God, it's all yours. And I give up, and to be able to just surrender and actually go with the flow of how the Lord wants to lead. You know, so we always want to go by the past season. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to take what we already know, and we want to formulate, and we want to get it all written out and nicely packaged. And then we want to carry that into the new place when the Lord is not even looking that way. He's like, he is something like totally, totally different. And, you know, so to be able to just learn to surrender and relax and to wait for him, it's very beneficial. But I also was looking at this morning in The Sparkling Gems, which is Rick Renner's book, which I absolutely love, his daily devotional. So today's was talking about be instant in season and out of season. Mm-hmm. So he's talking to Timothy. And it says here, after Paul's very long detailed description in 2 Timothy of the things that would become more and more prevalent in the last of the last days, he made the charge to Timothy, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. The word instant is from the Greek word ephistemi, I guess, and it means to stand at your post. Mm-hmm. The word is a military term. It's important because standing at your post entails engaging in spiritual warfare. And I know I learned sometimes with spiritual warfare, we're just out there wielding the sword and hooping and hollering and doing all this stuff. And, you know, the Lord's just sitting over there going, okay, well, whenever you're done, you know, if you just want to have a seat and just listen, then, you know, I'll lead you into the next thing. But Rick is saying that declaring the word of God in faith is the highest level of spiritual warfare there is. That's why it's especially important for a preacher or any believer who has God's word planted deeply in his heart to stand by and to keep standing at his post without moving an inch. So I'm talking about this in-between place. I feel like that's where I am right now, this in-between place. So I don't know what's coming up next. None of us do. But I know that yesterday's gone. Can't do anything about it. And I can just live in today. So, you know, the enemy wants to knock us into moving ahead of God and trying to figure things out, package all your stuff up. Or he wants you to stay in the past and lament, you know, what season has just passed. But it's all because the enemy wants to stop the preaching and the teaching and the ministry of the word. And because mental, emotional, and spiritual strongholds are demolished when the word of God is proclaimed. So whether you're hearing a message in church or whether you're hearing something on the radio or whether a friend is preaching or talking to you about the word, the enemy is being destroyed every time. And when Paul said to Timothy, be instant, you know, stay at your post and don't leave the place where God put you. And he's also, he said, in season or out of season, whether you're in good times or bad times, we need to stay at our posts even when it's out of season. To me, when you're in between, you're out of season. You know, well, think about this. All right, people that have curly hair always want to straighten their hair, right? When the tide's in, you want the tide to go out because you want to look for shells on the beach. You know, when it's sunset, you want the sun to be out. It's almost like we always want the opposite of where we're at the present. So anyway, I'm talking about the in-between time. Paul says we need to stay at the post even when we seem to be out of season. That phrase was translated from the word akairos, and that prefix A on kairos puts a negative spin on it. It says when things have changed, they are not so wonderful. The whole phrase could be translated in good times and bad times. What are you supposed to do when pleasant times begin to shift? What do you do when dark storm clouds begin to form in the skies? Just moments before, they were clear and blue. You do the same thing that you were doing before when the times were good. And he said in 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue thou in the things which you have learned and have been assured of knowing, of whom thou hast learned them. In other words, Paul was telling Timothy, don't budge. Don't move from the place where God has called you. Stay put. Stay at your post and don't budge an inch. And do what God has told you to do when the times are good. And if times turn bad, remain steady and unflinching. If you'll remain faithful to the call in the place where God has assigned you, if you will decide to stay put and refuse to budge an inch, he will empower you with inner strength that will enable you to see the divine assignment through to a glorious conclusion. So all that to say, stay where you are. Don't get ahead of God, and then don't go back into the past. And, you know, don't be lamenting where you just came from. And that's what I have to say.
Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, let your prayers and your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. Part of learning what we haven't learned requires that we get quiet. And why does it say in Thessalonians, study to be quiet, minding your own business, walking honestly towards them that are without, that you have lack of nothing. You have lack of nothing when you learn how to get quiet. Why do you have, why does he say study to be quiet? So you can simply learn how to hear. That's why Paul said, for I have learned in whatsoever state that I am in to be content. I mean, you have to learn it, but you don't learn it because you have anxiety and you want to tell God how to do it for you. But I know how to be abased. I know how to be abound. Everywhere in all things I've learned how to be full and I've learned how to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Christ who speaks to me, Christ who enlightens me, Christ who leads me by the way.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's in line with what the Lord's been ministering to me as well. He's so good. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. That sometimes we get off into a wider path of independence, like you said, Karen, where we're doing we're doing things the way we've done them, the way God's told us in the past. And well, this worked, and this is good, and this is biblical, this is scriptural. But we know Jesus never did things the same twice.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
How do we think we can just, I got this, I've done this before, and I'll just keep doing it this way. No, Jesus healed different every time. He wasn't in a box. He wasn't in a routine. He wasn't in a pattern. He healed. He delivered. He set free. He ministered. So, and even as David, before he went out to battle, he was instructed always to inquire of the Lord. Okay, Lord, what is your battle plan? How do you want us to do this? Where do we approach? Where do we go? And we know when he didn't, the time that he wasn't in the right frame of mind or heart, and they just went out without inquiring of the Lord, they were defeated. And they came back and said, God, why? Well, God said, you didn't ask me. I didn't tell you to do it that way. So God's been doing a lot of reset with me. Like, Lord, and this was my prayer. Let me put my glasses back on. I said, Jesus, get me back on track and put me back on the straight and narrow path. Because we don't want to be off that straight and narrow path, which is his word, his way, his will, his fresh instruction for the day. We don't want to be eating stale bread. We don't want the stale manna because it stinks and it rots. We need the fresh manna every single day. And the cry of my heart was, Lord, I want my heart to be, because God convicted me. And this is very common and prevalent in intercessors, people called to prayer. I know I find myself, I get up and I greet the Lord and I love you and I welcome you and I repent and I humble myself. You know, I go through my, but a lot of times I don't take the time to sit and be still, Karen, as you said, to be still, to just love on my God and worship and get my heart just so tuned in, tuned in to the voice of my God. I don't do that because I feel the weight and the pressure of praying for people, praying for family, praying for situations, praying for our country, but God convicted me and he's like, that's not your weight. That's not your burden. It's not your responsibility, right? That is, it's already done. It's already finished through Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way. It all belongs to God. And we're just here to agree and partner with him. So he convicted me that, so I repented. I said, Lord, I refuse the worry, the weight, and the weariness. Mm-hmm. We have to refuse that. No matter what your situation, no matter what your challenge, no matter what you're in the middle of that seems impossible, the truth is we cannot battle that on our own. And we will not win if we do it our way. We will not. It's the that gives access to the enemy to come in, and it'll just, like the Israelites, right? It's supposed to be an 11-day journey. And it wasn't, because they didn't stay connected. They didn't have the faith. They didn't have the trust. They didn't remember all that God's done for them. We have to remember and worship and have that gratitude and that thanksgiving. God, just like David, I took the lion, I took the bear, and I'm going to take down this Philistine giant. We have to remember where we came from and what God has brought us through. So when we do that, we know that we are desperate for God in a good way, mm-hmm. not in a fearful way, we have to include God in everything. So it was like, Lord, I want my heart to be so full of your presence, your glory, your love, your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness, that there's no vacancy for the enemy, that there's no place for anything unclean to get in the way, to consume my heart, to consume and distract me, to consume my affection, my time, my attention. We need to worship the Lord first. We need to be still. We need to sit. We need to be hearing the voice of our Creator, just in such a desperate, holy, humble, hungry way. God, I'm not, what did Moses say? I'm not going unless you go with me. We have to be in that place. I've got to hear your voice, God. I've got to know your will. I've got to know your plan, your strategy, so that I can go, then I can start my day. We have to wait on the Lord. We've lost the art of being still. We've lost the art of being quiet. And I don't know about your household, but my household is nonstop noise. It's just nonstop noise with between everybody and everything going on. And I long for quiet. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, because that's the only time without hearing all the other chatter and you know, all the voice of the world, that's when we're going to tune into the voice of heaven. When we're going to just say, okay, Lord, here I am. Here I am. Speak to me, Lord. Getting back to that place of, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Lord, your servant is here. Speak to me. That we really, 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 we don't want to hear man and listen to every podcast and read everything. Right. Those are all good because they heard from the Lord. But we need to hear, what did Paul tell Timothy? Study to show yourself approved. We have to know for ourselves.
Yes, and I believe that that's the word for this hour. That the Lord wants to, he's after your heart. He's after you. He wants you. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to pour out your heart before him. He wants you, not trying to, he wants you. You know, in, is it Zechariah, Zephaniah, 30:17, in repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength. And just, I mean, just think about, like, what is your happy place? If you were able to have a happy place, I know for me it would just be to have my house to myself, you know, unobstructed, no cats, no husband coming in and out with tools and, you know, different things going on. It was just that uninterrupted quiet with the Lord. I mean, that's something that I, you know, I was able to have that for many years, but not nowadays. So it's, you know, you have to shift. Mm-hmm. But I just believe the Lord is really trying to get the attention of his people. He wants our hearts. He's like, will you just let go of everything? Let go of everything you're trying to do, mm-hmm. what you're trying to get over, what you're trying to accomplish, what you know, this and that and the in and out. Just drop all of it so that he can mm-hmm. come and fill you and give you that peace and comfort. And, you know, I had mentioned it last week after I'd had my first cataract surgery a week ago Monday. You know, whatever they had given me for the anesthesia, it, you know, I enjoyed that for a couple of days. And it was like I had such peaceful rest. You know, I mean, like physically, it was like there was no stress. I wasn't thinking about anything, no anxious thoughts. I was completely at rest for that couple of days.
There was a shutdown.
Yeah. And I thought to myself, wow, I totally forgot what this felt like. Because I would have days like that, when my husband was working out of the country. You know, I had uninterrupted time with the Lord. And, you know, we get really spoiled with that. You know, that having that time of prayer and worship. And, you know, it was like, wow, I didn't realize how much I had missed that. But he's calling us to that. You know, it's almost like I just feel like he just wants to clear the board again. Mm-hmm. Clear the board, start over. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, get over yourself, get over who you're mad at, get over all your things going on. They're going to be fixed. Things, you know, the world is going to keep turning. Stuff is going to keep happening. Mm-hmm. But if your heart, you know, you can't change anything. You know, my husband is like, you know, grumbling about a couple of little things that are happening. And I was like, what can you do about it? You can pray. All you can do is pray.
That's right.
Pray that God would change it. Why would you get yourself in an uproar and in a tizzy about something you can't change?
It's very biblical, though, Karen, what you just said, because we have to learn. What we haven't learned, to forget those things which are behind. But what does he say? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward mm-hmm. to those things which are ahead, because the thing that we want more than anything else is the ability to operate under God's heavenly technology, God's operating system. And, you know, we either become our own greatest assets or we become our worst liabilities. But if we learned how to do what Moses did, stand still and see the salvation of God. If you can see it, you can have it, and you can walk it out. And if you keep walking it out in faith, God will work it out by his grace that empowers you to walk in the kind of truth that gives you a heavenly operating system to recognize the revelation is really the heavenly technology. So when you apply it by wisdom, you begin to assimilate God's plan and purpose in your life with supernatural understanding.
Amen. Amen. Let's take a quick break.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Amen. We are back.
I'll let him have his way.
So, Deanne, you were talking about David before. So, in, I just wanted to mention this. So, in 2 Samuel 11:1, you know, talking about doing things in the wrong season, says, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. Mm. He wasn't out there as a king out in the war where he should have been. And that's when he noticed Bathsheba. Mm. So, yeah, this is why it's important to...
Distraction.
Yeah. And to be listening and waiting and not having your own plans to do things.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's like I was listening to a teaching and it really resonated with me about God wants, he wants everything. He doesn't want just something. He wants everything. Everything. He wants it all. He wants it all. He is a jealous God. He is, Jesus is our groom and we are his bride. And think about that in the natural, the representation of the groom and the bride, the husband, the wife. The groom, Jesus, he longs for us to adore him and look for him and long for him and want to be with him and want to spend time with him, want that intimacy. And there should never be a question, people that see us and know us, who we belong to. Who is our groom? Mm-hmm. No one should ever have a question, oh, does Deanne have a husband? Who's her husband? They should know that I belong to my husband, Vic. Well, even more so with our groom, Jesus, that we are just, people know who we belong to. But there is such a mixture right now of Babylon, which is the world's way. And then over here we have God's way. And when there's that mixture, God can't change us. It's contaminated. Mm. We've talked about that. So this is why he can't deal with us and change us and cleanse us, get us on that straight and narrow path, because there's mixture. So he's got to call us out. He's got to separate us
from that. And he won't force us. We have to willingly, God, separate me from. And this was the conviction, giving him our idols. Sometimes things are idols and we don't look at them as idols. Mm-hmm. We don't think they're idols. But anything that comes before God, our Lord, anything that interrupts and distracts us from the worship, the intimacy, the sitting and resting and sitting at his feet and inquiring of him and communing with him, anything that takes precedence over that, okay, anything that distracts us, takes time or priority over our time with him, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your kids, whether it's your work, even ministry. Let me tell you, what does the Word of God say? I say this all the time, the most frightening scripture in the Word, where he says, depart from me, I never knew you. And they said, but Lord, we were doing this, we were feeding the hungry, and we were doing this, and we were serving. And he said, but your heart was far from me. He's not looking at your works, even ministry, even those good things that we think, oh, well, God called me to do this and serve here and do this. And God convicted me. God did a lot while I was on vacation. A lot of convicting. Convicted me of being busy. My busyness is in God's way. And I'm asking for a reset. I'm asking for wisdom for him to show me his plan for 2026. I know I have to make changes. And it's hard when you want to please people or you want to be there for people. You have a hard time saying no. I have a hard time saying no to people. I can't do it. You know. So I've got to get back to, Lord, only your will, only your way. But it is, we kind of think at times that we're, this one prophet had a dream of a doorstop. And she said, God, what is that? He said, a doorstop. Oh, duh. It's a doorstop. And he said, that's you. And he said, you're the doorstop holding the door open because of all the things you're praying for, people you're praying for, wanting to bring them in with you, wanting them to be saved, wanting them to be delivered and set free, wanting them to know who they are in Christ. You know, you're holding that door open because he said, but that's not your responsibility. Mm-hmm. He told her, Jesus is the door. And they only come by the Spirit of God. They only come by the wooing of Christ. Your position, your only responsibility is to be the ambassador for Christ, to live for Christ, be full of the fruit of the Spirit, be so full of the presence and glory of God. And we only get that, people, by sitting at his feet and being in his presence. But when we're so filled up that then we're overflowing, pouring out our life as a drink offering, as Paul says, we're pouring our lives out. We're just overflowing. It's the overflow of what we've received from the Lord. And when we're doing that, then the Holy Spirit and Christ will work to bring them through. But when he told her, when you're holding that door open, waiting for them and trying to get them to come through, he said, you're not going through. You're not entering in because you're holding back, waiting for them. And it was like, wow, boy, that convicted me. That like shook me for what I've been doing.
Well, that compassion, the Lord gives us that compassion for people, you know, and as intercessors, it's an interesting place because, you know, I've experienced that in many different ways, you know, where like you have such a compassion for a person or a situation and, you know, the burden is there and you've got to pray it through to the end. And it's tough. And then, but when the Lord lets up on the burden, we have to let go of it, you know, but sometimes we keep trying to carry something that he has already said, okay, that's done already. You know, we did what he had asked of us.
Or even just casting it, remembering to cast it on him, give it to him.
Right.
You know, cast your cares on me because I care for you. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to just agree and take it to him in prayer and leave it there and trust, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Mm-hmm. Don't lean on your own understanding, like, what else can I do? What else can I say? You know, there's got to be something that will pierce their heart, shake them, wake them. Sometimes it's nothing that we say or do other than just being in agreement with God, mm-hmm. just partnering with him and putting them on the altar, the situation on the altar, and letting Jesus be Lord and letting God move as only he can. That's where we have that fine line. Like, we don't know how to pray and let go, right? Pray and let go.
I think as we learn how to, believers that are leading and models, as we learn to lay aside every sin and the weight that would so easily besets us from running the course, then we learn how to let go of things, nice things, that don't really matter, because there are things in the continuum of God that we must comply with and things that we must do so that he has his way. I think that's what you're saying.
Yes.
You know, I almost have this picture of, you know, in the world of a believer, it's every man for himself. You know, you've got to know who you are in Christ. And, you know, well, even like you're talking to Ann about, you know, having burdens for people and situations and things. And, you know, we could find plenty of things to occupy our prayer life with. You know, the world situation and, you know, this and that, and the, you know, the poor in other countries, the poor in our own country. And, you know, we can be like in the natural sense, distraught over things that are happening. But what if the Lord wants you over here doing something else?
Yes.
That's what I always think. If, you know, when I'm like really bugged about things, I'm thinking, okay, maybe the Lord wants me to focus on something else. So I have to make up my mind to go spend that time with him and humble myself before him and wait and allow him to lead me. Because, you know, the word says he leads us on straight paths. He's going to lead us in a straight way. He's not going to take the circuitous route. He's going to lead us on a straight path. And, you know, that he makes our feet like hinds feet. He can make our life not just going to be easy, but it's going to be easy to move over the terrain of life, you know, through all the ups and downs and ins and outs. He will make it straight for us, peaceful paths, peaceful places. But again, when we're holding on to things or trying to control other people's lives or their salvation or when they're coming into the kingdom, then, you know, just kind of wasting time, I think.
Lifelong learning believers learn how to apply the knowledge of heaven so that they become unstoppable. And that's what he wants from us. You know, we are a sight and a sound generation that can see and that can hear, but it's like, why do we allow ourselves to be muffled from the reality of the truth that's staring at us face to face in our lives when we know what to do and we know how to do it? It's just time to lay aside certain things, let go, and become unstoppable to walk in the realm of God's continuum. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. And, you know, with all this anxiety and everything going on, and turn the news on constantly, negative news, you know, we watch this stuff, but why don't we stand still, see the salvation of God, and receive what's actually being poured out in the spirit realm, because Ephesians chapter 1 says, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And if we say things like all of our needs are met according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, why don't we learn how to get over into that glorious realm in Christ Jesus and receive what's being poured out for such a time as this?
Amen. Amen. I feel like I need to read this word that Pam sent me yesterday. For those of you that don't know, Pam is one of my spiritual mentors that we had ministered at the Healing Rooms with Pam back in the early 2001 time frame, many moons ago, wasn't it, Deanne?
Yes.
But it feels like yesterday. It was such a great time. So Pam wrote this. This is what the Lord gave her yesterday. Sunrise, sunset, times of great, great light and great darkness. Our lives simulate what the earth does, or vice versa. Who knows? But everything, good days, bad days, happy days, sad days, it's always in motion, one thing after another. Come, go, stay. There seems to be a cycle in life. We can't always stay on a high or low, but we can learn to live in each. Again, sunrise, sunset, it's all part of life. If we were to live in the sunrise all the time, I believe we would be exhausted and drained. We need that time of rest. That's why we turn the lights out when we go to bed. We need to hide the light and the problems, the joys, and everything that would affect our ability to sleep. Sunrise, sunset, it's all part of life. In the morning, we will rise again as the sun comes up and move on as the sun increases. Somehow, grasping this truth that the world, the sun, God's creation tells us a story every day. It's like a picture in a book in kindergarten. We only have to pay attention and to ask our teacher to reveal to us what it's saying. If we take time just to sit outside, maybe in a park or a mountaintop, by a beach, wherever, and observe creation, we will, I believe, learn a lot about our lives because we are part of his creation. Our story, the flowers, the weeds, the floods, the warmth of the healing sun are all an expression of what we see. When we love creation, we love ourselves. When we see empty trees in the fall, there's a sadness of time gone by, but joy realizing that they are resting so they can bring new life in the spring. What an appropriate word, spring. Its very meaning speaks life, energy, hope, light, freedom from darkness until its own evening comes in the heat of summer. How wonderful is God's voice. It speaks to us every day if we would only learn to listen. If we could look outside, look at the sky, look at nature, we would see his nature, his love, his provision, born out of his heart, his hands, his voice. Oh, we have to learn to praise God in all things, for all things reveal the nature of life. Or even in death, there's life, eternal life that will never enter the darkness again. But while we're here, we need that darkness to bring us rest, to bring our dreams out of the pit of our being, the core of our being, to encourage us by the power of our dreams. But those dreams wouldn't come without the darkness, to help us learn to find your love in every cloud and in every period of rest that is without light, where we can't move in a light of our own, but we can learn to find life and light in the darkness. Help us, Lord, help us to find you everywhere, in everything, to breathe you in, to know your touch, to hear your voice, and just speak from your power in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that great? There was a lot in there.
Amen.
The Lord just gives her these wonderful things every single day. Wow. Every day she just said, Lord, whatever you want to say. And then he just pours that out.
But see, she practices his presence.
Yes.
She gets still. And she,
that's right.
And she asks. Right? The word says, we have not because we ask not. Are we asking? Are we making petition? Do we have a vision? The Bible says, write the vision, make it clear. And I'm asking for that now. Lord, show me again, because we just forget. You know, I've been serving the Lord for 30 years now, since 95. And it's like, Lord, sometimes we forget those things he's put in our heart, the dreams, the visions, the desires, you know, even you know, words saying, you know, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, prophesying over our lives, what we're to do, what our assignments are, what our future holds. But because it's been so long, we kind of lose sight of that. So I'm like, Lord, refresh the vision, refresh the dreams, refresh the words, the prophecies spoken over my life, because it's time. It's a time of activation. It's a time of renewal.
Yes.
And it is a new season, Karen. You're talking about that. It's a new season. It's a new time. It's the new wine. We have to let go of the old wine skins. We have to. And I'm just like, God, have mercy. God, have mercy on me again. You're such a merciful God. And I was just getting, Lord, you know, help me keep my eyes and my heart on you.
Yeah.
And just keep my heart clean, as David cried out, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me. That's the cry, Lord, do that again. Just help me to keep my heart clean and pure every day. Forgive 70 times 7, anyone, everything. Immediately forgive anything that would try to corrupt my heart. And no plan B. There's no plan
B. That's right.
It's only God's plan A. We have to be in God's plan A. No alternate, no option, no, okay, this is okay, okay, good, better, best, right? We want the best. We want to be.
Amen.
And we have to live in and under the glory that's with him constantly to go to new heights and new revelation. We have to, yes, it has to be awakening, opening our eyes and our first consciousness to say, I praise you, God. This is your day. Again, this is your day that you have made, and I choose to rejoice and be glad. And I choose, I thank you that I'm alive for a purpose. I'm alive for a reason, not for my own self, my own desires, my own plans. No. God, show me what you have for me today.
Hallelujah. Yes, we can live in that every single day. You know, as I get older, I'm thinking about, wow, I hope that I get to do, not hope that I get to do, I want to do everything that the Lord had planned for me. You know, I just, sometimes we don't think about what his plan is. You know, I mean, you know, we read in scripture and stuff, but like you said, Deanne, you know, old dreams, things that, desires that you've had your whole life to do things. You know, those are still yet to come to pass.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe just ask the Lord today, what are the things that you want to do in my life? We're always trying, you know, we always want to repent and turn and do all this stuff. But, you know, flip the table around and say, Lord, you know, what do you want? Let me see how you see it. Let's look at it from his perspective. And, let him do the leading.
It sounds like what you're really saying, what we've been saying all day, is that we've learned how to build upon the foundation of Christ in our past through what we've learned. But as we keep practicing, you know, what we know, it really solidifies our growth to become that new man in Christ.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So that's a subject for another day, too. So we're just about out of time. So thank you so much for joining us, and Nanette will be back next week, and we will be here as well. So we thank you so much for joining us, and again, if you have any questions, comments, prayer requests, you can go to WCNO.com and use the prayer request form to type in your comments, or you can write us, 2960 Southwest Map Road, Palm City, 34990, if you'd care to make a comment. Thank you so much, and we will see you next week. God bless everyone.